from your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one, Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Blood and Guts with my absolutely most excellent co-host, the one and the only Jack Blood. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Maria. I'm sure you've been just as busy for the last week or so as I've been. This is what we do.
Well, you know, I told my friends this week, I said, you know, when one of these things happen, I had a deep feeling of dread because I know how many extra hours of work it's going to be to tear the story apart. So for me, it's like, please, let's have like, wouldn't it be nice if one day I could just come on the show and just say, there's no news today. But I'm still waiting for that day to happen.
I think we've had those days, and, you know, that's our job too. And what a lot of people don't understand here is that while the mainstream media carries the water for our federal government and really are nothing more, as I know David Icke always calls them, repeaters and not reporters, we have an essential duty to do our job to analyze all the evidence in the case of these Boston bombings of my former hometown and to cover things that the mainstream media won't and to take angles and to follow leads that the mainstream media and the federal government is not. So it's not that we're just here to be conspiracy theorists or we're here to, constantly oppose official stories. It's just that we have to do our job. That's our role in this so-called fifth estate or fourth estate.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I agree, but I can tell you, I was like, oh my God. And then at the same time, when they come out with this ricin scare, and you know, I think maybe I was the only person that saw that those envelopes had been tested three times and proved that there was no ricin on it. I immediately thought of 9/11 and the anthrax notes until, of course, it was proven that it was made military grade in Fort Detrick, Maryland. And then they toss in that supposed train robbery explosion in Canada for, you know, extra measure. And the man in Canada accused of it, I think he's French, is saying that none of it was true. You know, so this is like the world of false flags, but it doesn't stop. You know, it's like nonstop. If you think about it, the way they shut down the city of Boston, the first thing I thought about was the search for Chris Dorner in California, who was an armed ex-cop, and nobody shut down the city for that. Although they did shut down the media.
Yeah, they sure did. And they did that in this case, too. I was one of the people listening to the police scanners during the arrest of the younger suspected and alleged bomber. By the way, his name is pronounced Jokar. So we had the Batman incident in Aurora, Colorado, and now the Joker is involved in these bombings here. I think somebody's having a little fun at our expense. We're listening to the tapes, and I'm about to release a YouTube on that, though one is already out, where I was on the Clyde Lewis show playing this just as it had almost happened, and we had heard that they were going to Chris Dorner or slash Waco, the younger alleged bomber, while he was in that boat, that they were talking about putting ordnance on the boat, that they had lit the boat on fire, and it was right around that time, Maria, on the police scanners that they discovered we were listening to them and had to do an extra special turnaround to take the kid alive. Had we not have been listening to the scanners, and because they had coordinated the media away from that was even mentioned in the scanner tapes that I have, this kid would be dead now, and dead men will tell no tales. Eyewitnesses on the first bomber have said that, no, his brother did not run him over, one of the many forms of disinformation we've gotten from the mainstream media, but that the police indeed had run over the older brother and then shot him afterwards to make sure that he would be dead. Uday and Kuse, Officer Chris Dorner, Why do that? We have so many questions. I wouldn't even know where you would want to start here, but I can say the big story we broke today was that the governor of Massachusetts, where this unprecedented military police action took place that we all witnessed and many people in Boston cheered, took place without the governor seeing any evidence, was authorized and aided and abetted by Governor Devil Patrick, who, by the way, is the heir apparent to the Obama mantle. He's the next big black guy that'll be president, if that's possible. Didn't even see the evidence that the FBI claims to have had of the two suspects setting down their backpacks or having no backpack at all at any point. He just was briefed on it and took the word of the FBI. So after not even seeing the evidence, he allowed this, again, unprecedented case of martial law, Black Hawk helicopters landing all over, and troops going house to house and dragging people out of their houses and searching based on no evidence.
I know. It was just incredible to me. Well, you know that expression, you know, when democracy finally dies in America, it would die to the sound of loud applause. Well, that's all I could think when those people finally came out of their homes, all cheering and, you know, singing patriotic songs. Now, if you think about the people in Boston in 1776, do you think they would have allowed that to happen?
The fact that this whole thing was instigated on Patriots Day in Boston, and that here we are, the British have quartered themselves in the houses of the colonists in Boston, the irony's not lost on me, that's for sure.
I know, it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
And going to the Elvis impersonator, Johnny Cash impersonator et al., et cetera, whistleblower, the guy who I guess is a conspiracy theorist because he worked at a hospital. We saw organs being stolen and sold, which is something that happens all the time.
Right.
He's a whistleblower, happens to be an Elvis impersonator, which again is kind of a little joke, is now been released. He is free. He has now been cleared of all the charges and had no idea what ricin was even about. He, when he was arrested and swarmed by getting his mail from Homeland Security, first thing he said when he was accused of the charges is, "I don't even eat rice."
Right.
No idea. Now they're going to be charging somebody who I guess had a vendetta against him. They've got a new guy. But as you mentioned, you know, one of the targets for the ricin stuck her nose in for some ungodly reason and inhaled it, and nothing happened. So the fact is that it wasn't even ricin. Isn't something that the mainstream media is really even getting into now. And let's not, but this reminds us of 9/11 is where I guess we're going. But let's not forget that the Bush administration was on Cipro, which is allegedly the antidote for anthrax and weaponized anthrax, before the letters were even sent, Maria. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, we know for sure that came from Fort Detrick. Even the FBI admits it. It was an inside job, but it was a rogue guy who's also dead and can tell no tales.
Right.
And that's worth talking about more, but I think we've made our point.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I saw pictures of the boat that kid was hiding in, and it had like 100 bullets in it, at least.
So. Well, we played that clip of when they first roll up on him, that there is at least 100 shots. They just unloaded on the guy.
Right, and he's
and,
supposed
to. And also, though, we have, after the fact, them attempting to burn him alive.
Right.
There wouldn't be a suspect. Now, he supposedly has confessed to this, but this is, again, the American justice system. It's like pizza delivery service. It comes to your hospital bed while you're all drugged up and wounded, mortally wounded, and, you know, has you incriminate yourself and proceeds with so-called justice. And we're supposed to be grateful for this, that he wasn't named an enemy combatant and is sent off to military tribunals or to Gitmo. We're supposed to be, according to MSNBC, General Electric, Comcast, the cable channel, that we're somehow supposed to be indebted to our justice system, that he is getting fair treatment.
Right. Well, I don't know if you got to see the article, the interview or article that Rachel Maddow did about him being served in the hospital. But she was all rah-rah, sis.
The other day, yeah.
Yeah, she was all rah-rah, sis, boom-bah. This is the way our justice rolls. You know, people really need to wake up and understand that a lot of these supposed progressive voices, alternative voices out there, you know, they're just shills. I mean, when are people going to get that?
I don't know. This certainly is conditioning people a little bit more. We know that, you know, 9/11 had certainly, September 11th attacks have worn off to an extent, and that even Democrats are complaining about Cousin Obusha and how he's been prosecuting the war on terror and still sticking with the stealing of our civil liberties, constitutional rights, call them what you may. So this has certainly got us back into thinking about giving up more of our rights, trashing the Constitution, and going along with whatever it takes to protect us from this illusionary freedom that isn't even possible. Or, I mean, security,
right.
Control, not a, no freedom and control and security. There is no such thing as security. If anyone wants to bomb any public event or shoot at or throw Molotov cocktails onto groups of children across the country for whatever sick and demented reason, they can do it at any time. There's no way to stop it. So I'm sure the backpack industry now is reeling from what results might come from this. And but again, the fact that people are for this, that could somehow endorse this, that can applaud it. It is what we saw again, unprecedented in Boston. It definitely makes you feel a little bit sick.
Right. Well, you know, Elaine Daneman, who happens to be an expert on vaccines and psychotropic drugs, said that you can bet anything you have that they are loading this boy with all kinds of drugs, and if he does confess, it's going to be because he's going to be drugged out to the max. And I, you know, I can't get over the fact that he's being treated by two Israeli doctors in an Israeli hospital in Massachusetts. And it's like, don't we have American doctors that were good enough to treat this guy? You know, and the Israelis had people on the ground there at the marathon. I mean, people have to start really waking up and see the collusion between the police state in every country, including Canada, pulling these false flags worldwide.
Let me go back to the Canadian train plot, if I will. This was an FBI coordinated effort across border, which reaffirms that we live in the North American Union, but that the suspects in question had been pretty much, as we've seen so many times, have been entrapped, led into this plot to incriminate themselves for money, fame, glory, or just because they're idiots. I think we're all pretty clear that that had happened. The reason they rolled it out when they did was because they wanted to get it on the back of the Boston bombings and procure some sentiment, I guess, for more police state measures. But also there was a bill going through the Canadian Parliament which would take more of your rights and fund the anti-terrorist apparatus, their own version of Homeland Security, and they needed to sway some votes. So that came out really perfectly timed for that. So we see a couple of things here, this cooperation between countries, the breakdown of our sovereignty, and then, of course, the setting up and trapping crying wolf by governments of terrorists to keep the people scared. All of this stinks like Operation Gladio, like P2OG, a strategy of tension and false flag terrorism, though I'm doing my damnedest to try to prove that it isn't false flag terrorism, and I'm having a really hard time.
Right. Well, I have to agree with you, and I keep watching the news stories coming out since. And, you know, oh, the mother, well, you know, if she comes to this country, she could be arrested for shoplifting, you know, some shoplifting charge. And, you know, how they're trying to twist all these stories, you know, in other words, they're creating the narrative now to fit what they did. No different than the Kennedy assassination, you know, 9/11, the stolen election, on and on. But this morning I got an article that a UN reporter has been called out by the United States, by I think her name's Susan Rice. She wants him fired because he actually spoke the truth about the Boston bombing, and he wrote about it. And he said he doesn't understand why America is so surprised, because he said we've been lucky not to have worse blowbacks. And of course he wrote about the fact that, you know, our being in collusion with Israel hasn't helped us out at all, but it's all about our global domination project coming back on us, and Susan Rice wants this guy fired. And I'm like, what happened to freedom of speech?
Well, listen, if the Bush administration said this and it was Condoleezza Rice and not Susan Rice, there'd be a huge segment of the population quite outraged to that. But, okay, let's, if we even let some official narrative sneak into the whole thing and say, like a lot of people said about 9/11, that it was blowback. I know Ron Paul and others have been very careful publicly of what they said, so they're giving it a kind of a blowback spin. That's initially what I had thought. That's certainly doable, isn't it? Look, the anti-American sentiment is rising all around the world, and it's actually due in part to the drone strikes that are indiscriminately taking place all over the world. Just this week, several in Yemen. In fact, Rand Paul, who gave the, I thought, somewhat brilliant 13-hour filibuster to call attention to Obama's flying death robots, which is exactly what they are, has now retracted that, rolled back, and said if a guy's coming out of a convenience store, we have the ability to drone attack him, and he would be all for that. So you can see where that's going. But the point I wanted to make was, here's Obama. He's been quite absent during all of this, which I think is despicable. He's the leader. He should be saying something. But he comes out right after it and says what? That anyone that kills innocent children and innocent people with a bomb should be held accountable and should bear the brunt of the strongest justice available. But isn't that what we do every day? And I'm ashamed to have to say that in some way I could be responsible by allowing this to happen and not doing more to stop it. Mm-hmm. So could it be blowback? Certainly. That just brings us back to where's the evidence? The reason I found that Deval Patrick, Devil Patrick, the governor of Massachusetts, had not ever seen the video, the evidence we're told exists and was only briefed on it, was because I was looking everywhere for it.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't there. It isn't there, and there are many versions of the story from they found more and more bombs. They later had to say they did not. They said they weren't running a drill. Eyewitnesses verify that not only were they running the exact same drill in Boston at the marathon, but they've done that every year since 2008,
right,
which confuses and covers for operations like this. How would these two kids know that this is happening, that they robbed the 7-Eleven, and that's why they found them initially in Cambridge, which led to the cop shooting, which is kind of the J.D. Tippett character from the JFK assassination and all of this.
Right.
So many things they've said aren't true. So many things they've said they can't back up. The confession in the carjack. This is, again, like Christopher Dorner, the rogue cop. He carjacks somebody and just lets them go, this dog killer. Mm. They did the same thing and confessed. Where is this guy now? If this is the brunt of the evidence, the complaint against the surviving alleged bomber, where is them on video dropping their backpacks? Okay, why did the FBI say, Maria, that they had no idea who these guys were when indeed they were following them and they were on the terrorist watch list? The older brother knew exactly who they were by that picture. They lied about that. They lied about the robbery at the 7-Eleven, which initially brought them into Cambridge to start this massive dragnet. So it's very difficult to give them any credibility here.
Absolutely. You know, people keep asking me, you know, what's your opinion, Maria? What do you think really happened? Why'd they do this? And, you know, Mayor Bloomberg, little Napoleon from New York yesterday, said that Americans need to start getting used to changing the Constitution. The Constitution needs to be more flexible because it was written for a different time.
Yeah.
And now we have to get used to more cameras, more surveillance, because we live in more dangerous times. You know, you look at this and, you know, one of the things I was amazed at, you know, when they're showing us their side of the story, and you see the equipment they're using, and you know, I'm sure you saw the overhead film where they could see with their night vision, you know, the shape of the kid's body and the boat and all this stuff. To me, what was most outstanding is they really have shown America just how much surveillance they have on us. And everybody's now happy that that's happening because, after all, they saved the day.
Well, and part of that is relief that the whole debacle is over. And by the way, how do we know it's over?
We don't.
I mean, could there have been more people out there? Could they even have the right people? Well, they've decided the second they caught the younger teenage bomber, alleged bomber, I should say, that it's all over now. But I think that a lot of it was, from the people of Boston, relief. I should say that having lived in Boston and New England for 10 years, The people of Boston have a profound, almost exaggerated respect for their firemen, their police, the military, unions, and the government. And if you go into a bar and you start saying anything bad, whether this thing happened or not, about any of those divisions, you're going to get beat up. That is, they just really are very blue-collar, very pro-American, extremely Irish Catholic and conservative, and they love their cops, they love their firemen, they love the military, and in many forms, they love their government. And that, I think, is one reason why Boston was the perfect place to do this.
Well, it's kind of sad to say that that would be a city that would be under siege and capitulate so quickly. You know, years ago, a lot of my guest, myself included, were telling people to move out of big cities for this exact reason, because you're trapped in a big city. I mean, they shut down roads, they had a no-fly zone, the subways immediately were cut off, cell phones were immediately cut off. And those people, I mean, let's face it, you know, they were like one big FEMA camp while that was happening.
Right. No, it was voluntary martial law. We need to be very clear on this, because I don't want people to be afraid. You have to go along with this. It's very difficult not to. But, you know, this, they were using the Amber Alert screens on the highway, stay in your house, don't go out. They closed all the businesses, as you said, shut down the cell phones. Unbelievable and unprecedented, but all of it was pretty much voluntary, and that's something that has to be pointed out, something that just has to be reiterated again and again. And this is exactly what Aldous Huxley said, that you beg for your slavery. You volunteer for that slavery. It's very difficult to force the human consciousness to do that without some kind of a Pavlovian carrot and a stick.
Right. Well, same exact thing happened in Nazi Germany. You know, people have been asking that question for, you know, decades. You know, how did that happen? Well, because they said, you know, come with us. We're going to take care of you. We're going to take you to a better place. And everybody just marched in step. You know, and I see that happening. You know, you and I talked about it with the invention of the TSA and their machines, you know, Michael Jerkoff's machines at the airport. And how everybody just capitulates. Nobody questions it. You know, everybody strips down. There's quiet. It's like being in church when you go through those machines in the airport. Like everybody's already guilty and hasn't done a damn thing.
And not everybody. So.
Well, I don't. I mean, you know, that's why I try not to fly, because I'm figuring they're just going to either taser me or kill me right on the spot.
Well, I've had my problems flying, that's for sure. I've been denied flying. I ended up having to get a couple of TSA guys fired because they took that opportunity to humiliate me for whatever reason. And luckily, I did have enough contacts to exact some kind of justice there, some kind of instant karma. No, I think, you know, there are a lot of people that do oppose what has happened and how this entire Boston thing was handled. I think more people are skeptical of the government than ever before. And most importantly, more people care about that skepticism than ever before. Because after 9/11 and even years later, I would talk to people and they go, oh, I know all about that. I just really don't care.
Right.
Now people do. So I don't want to cast some kind of an illusion here that everybody just goes along with this and we're well on our way to
complete total fascism. Well, of course not. You look at the internet society, okay? I'm going to call them the internet people. If it wasn't for the internet, I mean, instantly exposing Boston while it was happening in real time, people wouldn't. It just showed me how awake people were. And this is another reason why they want CISPA, why they want to shut down the net. This morning I was reading that now they want us to believe that these two boys pulled off Boston because they've been listening to conspiracy radio shows. So that means next we're under attack for telling the truth, like the guy who works at the UN.
Coincidentally enough, one of the first people brought in to comment on any of this on mainstream media from CNN up and down the dial was AIPAC Jane Harmon, as I call her, caught red-handed covering up espionage by Israeli spies and then blackmailed by the Bush administration and Attorney General then Alberto Antigonzalez, as I call him. I love torture Antigonzalez. and went along with the wiretapping and then began sponsoring something called H.R. 1955, the Homegrown Terrorist Act, which never did pass the Senate and get approved on a higher level again because we fought it. One of the people she called out in her panel exploring this and trying to raise more votes in committee in Congress, Jane Harman, was 9/11 architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, that they somehow would inspire terrorists. So, yes, why people do listen to, call them conspiracy shows, alternative news shows, in this case it's our famous friend Oprah, you know, that's just something everybody does. And it's certainly, you know, the majority, the numbers aren't going to go blow things up. In fact, you could say, well, these guys also watch the mainstream media. Was that the trigger that caused it to happen? Now, again, I'm still looking for proof that it even did happen. But is this going to somehow scare people away from going to the sites? Is it going to scare people away? Is it going to put a negative opinion on us that go to sites or that do the shows that you and I do, more importantly?
Right. Well, look, they try to blame this on a cartoon, okay? They try to blame this on Family Guy, which is a cartoon, okay? And, you know, the episode that they singled out on Family Guy, they started immediately demonizing Seth MacFarlane, who writes Family Guy. He had to try and defend himself. But the bottom line is they said, oh, that show could have instigated them to do this, okay? When you look at that, look at the other real TV shows, okay? Most people watch reality TV. They don't go out and start killing people or blowing up things, all right? And I thought that was a huge distraction because, look, I'm proud to admit it. I've watched all 11 seasons of Family Guy. It's great. It's so intelligent. And there's so much political truth that they cover in it, even though it's a real ridiculous show. And I couldn't believe that they were going to try to pin this on a cartoon episode. And people really have to get a clue. And you know, they struck the show like the name of Moses off the air. But I mean, that was one of the milder shows that I've seen on there.
I've also heard it said from the other side that the Family Guy episode in question, where he mentions killing people at the Boston Marathon, keeping in mind this all takes place in New England, the show itself in Rhode Island technically, and that he joked about twin bombs. So a lot of people were also saying this was predictive programming in line of the Lone Gunman episode from the X-Files spinoff, one show mimicking everything that happened before the September 11th attacks a few months before it actually happened. Could there be something to that being a predictive programming? In other words, they have to kind of tell you what they're going to do in order to cremate their care, as I know is a kind of a Freemasonic, dictum.
Right. Call.
Sure, possibly, I don't know. I'm very suspicious of Seth MacFarlane, who is a complete and total shill for the Democratic Party. I definitely know he puts propaganda in that show, which I'm sure you notice all the time if you watch it.
All right, but he's got a lot of good zingers in there. You have to kind of be intelligent to follow it sometimes.
Well,
and, you know, look, if people really want to worry about predictive programming, Jack, they need to, like, look at movies like Day After Tomorrow as predictive programming, okay? You know, the kind of world that we're heading for, the sixth extinction that seems to never be talked about, you know, anywhere in the news. You know, how many species are off planet every single day? You know, water wars, you know, how the planet's running out of water, you know, important things. But, you know, to me, these are all, you know, I hate to say it, Jack, they all seem like silly little distractions for the evil going on at the top. You know, yesterday.
Okay, so one of the things we were covering was the day the bombings happened, there was a bill passed forward signed by Obama, which is called the Stock Act.
Right.
Which initially was written to stop insider trading. All of those clauses taking out of the Stock Act, which basically says President, Vice President, Congress, Senate, anyone can do insider trading, of course, with the positions they have to know in advance maybe how goods, services, products, and futures are going to move. So there was that. The fact that one of the bombs took place in a building that held an operation called Cornerstone, which investigates insider trading and fraud in the stock market, that was a coincidence, again, not lost on me. So, and we'd seen this with the connections to the financial sectors, especially in Aurora, Colorado, with James Holmes' dad working with FICO, developing intense hunting and gathering computer algorithms and programs to look for fraud in the Wall Street. And then again with the Adam Lanza, the alleged dead suspect in the Sandy Hook shootings. Father works for GE Financial, again, as a bean counter, would know exactly where all the fraud is. And by the way, interestingly enough, the Sandy Hook victims were sitting at the 26-mile mark, right at the finish line where those bombs went off. I cannot imagine having to relive that tragedy all over again.
Right, and the chances of them, you know, witnessing two huge things like that. I mean, somebody did the biorhythms on it and said it was like one in a gazillion, the chance that they'd be in both places.
Well, how about this? A guy in the Boston bombings takes off to Waco, Texas to do
that.
Finds himself right in the middle of that fertilizer plant.
Right.
That fertilizer plant, by the way, who was in a several-year lawsuit against Monsanto.
Right. Well, where's the investigation on that? Why didn't they say this could be terrorism?
Even while it was happening, they had written it off as an accident before even investigating it.
Right, and more people were killed there than in Boston. There's like no coverage on that story because they, you know, the last time OSHA fined them was 1985. Okay, I mean, nobody's even, you know, we can thank, I'm sure, George Bush the Idiot King and his deregulations, but I'm sure it goes beyond that. But I mean, nobody was watching that store. And then somebody had sent me a video on YouTube. He wasn't sure, and I can tell you I'm not sure either, Jack, but I don't doubt anything anymore. It was a video of what surely sounded like a missile right before that explosion in Texas.
Yeah, I saw that video.
You know, and I can't make up my mind on it, but I will tell you this. The first thing I thought of was those two frames they showed us of whatever they wanted us to believe hit the Pentagon on 9/11.
Right, yeah. A distraction from the distraction itself is, I guess, what we're talking about. That gun bill also went through days after the Boston bombings. It failed. We got scolded by Obama about the only time he's talked to us here in this entire ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And they also put CISPA up for a vote, which I believe did already pass the Senate, something we'd already defeated last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're very busy.
Well, they keep trying to get their agenda done, you know, and it doesn't matter how many of us they have to blow up in order to do it. Jack, we're going to go to a short break. When we get back, I just wanted to talk with you briefly because one of our mutual fans asked me to ask you a question on the internet sales tax. That's another one. So stay with us. Jack and I will be right back. Hi, it's Maria. I've got a question. How much more crap are we going to take? We're running out of time, folks, to wake up anyone with ears to hear. Government corruption, government lies, cover-ups, false flags, genetically modified organisms in our food, the heart program, chemtrails over our heads, pharmaceuticals in our water, poisons in our food supply, corrupted elections, being ruled by the elite 1% of 1%. When will it end? It'll end when everyone learns the information that's here on site, in my archives, and the new shows that I tirelessly put out 4 days a week. Available for pennies a day. Get over to maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Pick a subscription of your choice. Get educated and then share that education. I've always believed if everyone in this world knew the information that I present on this show now since 2000, we would change this world on a dime. So ask yourself while you're sitting back there if you've never supported my work, but still listen, how much more crap are you going to take? Get in there and get a subscription today. You'll be so happy you did, and you'll become one of the smartest people on the planet, able to decipher the fake news they give us every day. In instance, just like my listeners always manage to do. So for now, let's get back to the show. Welcome back to Blood and Guts with my co-host Jack Blood, and not only co-host, but a longtime friend. If you're not familiar with Jack's work, you're new to the show, you're listening either at Gary Knowles Network or YouTube or iTunes, wherever you tuned into this week, this is the kind of information both of us put out daily, tirelessly. Get over to Jack's site, deadlinelive.info. And, of course, my site is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A. Jack, I know it's a small story by comparison, but Clint called me yesterday, who's one of our mutual fans and listeners and supporters, and he said, I want you to ask Jack with this new internet sales tax that they want to put out on everybody. You know, since Wall Street, he said, do all their trading online, do you think they're going to be required to pay the internet sales tax?
Well, Wall Street's a pretty general term, so it would depend on what entity on Wall Street you're talking about. They'll have the lawyers, and they don't pay taxes. They get to deferred taxes, loopholes, and actually even get money back. Mm-hmm. That is the truth. And for those of you calling to tax the 1%, the biggest offenders here, they just don't have to pay taxes. They're even driving that discussion because they get your money in their pocket. Subsequently, 80-some billion dollars a year continuing in free loans, mm-hmm. interest-free loans to Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan Chase, Chase Manhattan, the usual suspects. Here's my problem with any tax. I am now expected, if this goes through, I will now be expected to be a tax collector for the federal government. Anything I sell on my site, I've got to put aside a certain percentage of that tax. I've got to keep books, and I've got to get that mailed in to the appropriate person, or I'm now a criminal. Not only that, it gives the IRS the ability to get in and shut down websites who aren't paying the tax. So now you'll be forced to either not sell anything on your site, make any money from your website or from the internet, or have the IRS up your butt, literally. Mm-hmm. So it is a complete control mechanism. This is my problem with Obamacare, is it puts the IRS into our lives in a way that is unprecedented. And the fact that all of this, as Clint, going to Clint's question, all of it will be selectively enforced makes me sick to my stomach, and I did actually cover that the other day because I thought it was so important. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll stand up against it and it won't happen. It's got huge opposition.
Right. All right, so let's get back to, of course, the story of the day. Do you think that this young man that they have in the hospital is actually going to live? And do you think he's going to be another, you know, I'm trying to think of, it's hard to remember all their names, the shooter, the crazy one, James Holmes. Is he going to be another MKUltra drugged out liar by the time they're done with him?
Well, I think that's probably, we're already at that point. What will happen? They will put this off. You know, he's got a public defender. Are you kidding me?
Well, isn't that crazy?
But that's his representation right now, which is a joker. It's a complete joke.
Yeah, it's like not having an attorney.
Yeah, it's worse. You'd be better off representing yourself or not having an attorney, which maybe he should do. What they'll do in a case like this is they'll drag it out as long as possible. That would be their job. They'll convince the client here in this case that it's in his best interest to just go along with all of this so that you don't get the death penalty, and they'll put him where they put the fake underwear bomber, you know, 19 stories down in a building or somewhere completely secluded where he talks to nobody and sees nothing for the rest of his life. And I'm sorry that that's probably where this is going to go. There's too much riding on this. If they can't find a way to lock him away and throw the key away forever, then he'll have an accident and he won't be with us any longer.
Right. So he'll get the Sirhan treatment. Who's still trying to fight his innocence in court, you know, 50 years later.
Worse than Sirhan, you mentioned James Holmes and Jared Lee Loughner and the underpants bomber. He won't even be able to make a statement 40 years from now if he's still alive. That's it. They've got to close the door on this, and they're already off and running with more cameras and more security and the solutions to the problem they created themselves. So this is on a course that I don't think can be deviated unless, again, we the people can do a good enough job and stand up and see that evidence is actually shown, not just to the court, but to a jury and to all the rest of us. I think we should demand to see the evidence and demand to have our questions answered.
Well, we can't even see the evidence from Sandy Hook. I mean, nobody can even see the autopsy reports on the kids that were killed. I mean, everything's sealed. Yeah. And they said
and
that
we mentioned that, I think maybe the time before last, month before last when I was on the show, that there was a big school shooting in Brazil, and the whole thing is caught on closed-circuit TV, and they just put it right out on the Internet. You can see it all, because they got nothing to hide.
Right. Right. Well, we were supposed to have all that transparency that Obama promised us, remember? Just like he was shutting Gitmo.
Yeah. This furthers the international war on terror. You've got the perfect suspect here. One of my theories was that this Saudi Arabian who could have been an asset might have helped pull this bombing off along with special intelligence, which we even saw at the scene, that looked very suspicious with backpacks that matched much better than the backpacks of the people that are in custody or dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
Are you talking about crafting?
It's hard to even talk about this, quite frankly,
right,
because this whole case is so flimsy and so shaky. But we're Americans, and God damn it, we got to get this thing finished off. We don't want this thing to drag out. Let's just finish it off. But the perfect patsies here, who knows who did it? There's a couple of suspects that throughout. The perfect patsies are people who are domestic and foreign at the same time. And yes, another big coincidence.
Immigration.
The younger brother, his citizenship day, September 11th, 2012. Last year, September 11th, on the 11th anniversary of 9/11, he becomes a citizen of this country. By the end of the year, he's involved in this.
Right, right. And then they start throwing out, oh, we have to get busy on this immigration bill because this is what happens. You know, it's like you got to just, I always tell people, you just got to wait for it. You know, it only takes 1 to 3 days to see what the purpose of the event was.
Well, and let me mention what I said to you off air. I would not be here. I would have not have done all the work I have done had it not been for 9/11, which pushed me over the truth ledge, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of people that can say the same thing. So a case can be made that the September 11th attacks and the cover up and the truth of that and people looking for the truth had set forth a huge new movement of truther activism. And I think that this will have the same effect on a younger generation, on a whole new generation of people who can put 10 years into this without blinking an eye.
Mm-hmm.
So I really truly believe that the imperial hubris involved in pulling something like this generally does backfire, and that isn't something that you can account for or control.
No, but they surely would like to, thus their continuous effort to shut down the Internet and anybody like us that does what we do.
Or put you through naked scanners to go see a baseball game or a football game and to continue to condition people to go along with the police state apparatus. But no, and I just tend to believe that this generally has the opposite effect. I know we've accomplished so much in the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
Due to our dogged sticking to the facts and the story since September 11th all these years, and there's a whole group of people who have put themselves in a completely different paradigm and consciousness due to the work that we've done. So then now there's a whole new group of people coming up because of this, and maybe that's the best thing. Maybe this has all happened for a reason, a good reason. The universe is giving us what we deserve, whether we like it or not.
Well, I just keep telling people, sometimes you got to go through hell to get to heaven. I said, this whole system has to be exposed, and it has to crash and burn in order to create something that is sustainable and equal for everyone. I mean, you know, this world is so whacked and out of balance. Look at our country. You know, you have two extremes now. You're either poor or you're the super rich. And, you know, the country can't survive like that. And, you know, people are, you know, they're hungry, they're miserable, they're starving, you know, there's no jobs. You know, nobody's talking about the fact that there's no jobs. I think last month only 88,000 jobs were created when they need to create something like, I don't know, 250,000 jobs a month just to keep up. So,
well, yeah, but that's another design to further encourage people into globalism, and I don't think that's going to roll back anytime soon. It never is what it appears to be. I want people to go back and listen to the show we did together, Blood and Guts, the issue date 12/12/12, and listen to some of the things Maria and I were predicting for this year, and then come back and ask us, how the hell did we know all this was going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I remember pretty much telling you that, you know, I just saw this nation on fire from one end to the other. And, of course, I might have missed out on the floods that are happening throughout the Midwest, you know, where they're praying for dry weather as the rivers are overflowing their banks because of, you know, I'm sure, weather manipulation.
Snow in April. They've so monkeyed around with the weather, call it the weather then, that they, I believe they've irreparably changed the jet stream. But that's an issue for a whole nother show. We could do that next time, maybe.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Yesterday, my guest, we had some kind of disconnect, and he couldn't show up. And I went looking through, you know, my Jack. You know what? I have over 160 DVDs, backups of my show since I started. Now, each one of them holds anywhere from 20 to 25 shows. All right, so I'm figuring to estimate maybe 4,000 hours or 5,000 hours. So every now and then I'll go digging through to find a golden oldie that I haven't been able to put up on my site. And I found one with Scott Stevens, and I'm sure you know Scott. I'm sure you've interviewed him. And it was from 2005. And I have to tell you, everything he said in that holds up today. It might as well have been him I interviewed yesterday. You know, on chemtrails, on weather wars, on, you know, manipulating storms, turning tornadoes, you know. And one thing I remember about him is he said, you know, when he was a TV weatherman, that he got to the point where he realized you cannot call the weather unless you know who's making it.
Yeah, I think the evidence is in on that, and more people are noticing that than ever before. The thing I have to say before we go, they're already rolling to the next thing. The next thing is a bird flu scare.
Oh, yeah.
Headlines today. That could be the next thing that we should worry about. Again, I put that in my prediction column on 12/12/12 on your show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading right now, this just popped up, New York City to release tracer gases, quote unquote, in subway system. They've done this before. And it would not be beyond me if this thing doesn't stick and doesn't give them the control they want and their bills and their appropriations don't get passed. You know, the next move will be mass quarantines and some potential pandemic that could scare and affect the rest of us. So keeping us on our toes, Maria, is the New World Order.
Oh, of course. You know, I had the story out of China because, of course, that's where it is right now. And, you know, they're trying to say it's human-to-human transmissible and all this, but the scientists there say so far they really don't have evidence of that. But I think it was on one of my shows last week, in my new show, it's hard to keep track of when I say what, that a Chinese official had accused the United States of using that bird flu on them as a bioweapon.
I was going to mention that if you didn't.
Ah, well, there you go.
Put Chinese official accuses U.S. of bioweapon, bird flu bioweapon, put that into my search engine at deadlinelive.info, you'll have that story.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, either that guy's been listening to my show or he knows what goes on. You know, all I could think of was, you know, Dr. Mary's monkey, you know, Lee and me. I mean, the list went on in my head because that's what we do, okay? Bioweapons are us. But that's another story that, you know, nobody got, nobody, you know, I'm sure you told it, I told it. But if people are sitting back listening to CNN and Fox and expecting to hear that on the news, they might as well forget it because it's never going to happen.
Yeah, not so sure, just to straighten the record here, that the Boston bombings is the distraction. Very sure that North Korea, this is now not threatening us anymore, and that's no problem, and there's not going to be a world war tomorrow, and they're not going to nuke us completely, just gone.
Right.
It's the distraction to distract us from the lead-up to the Boston bombings. That's very suspicious to me.
I totally agree. I said that with one of my guests last week. I said that all of a sudden, the whole North Korea story just went totally mute. It's gone.
And they were such a big threat.
Well, you know, I think that they use these stories, you know, and then, you know, when it's done, it's like yesterday's paper. There's never any ending to it, and they just move on to the next fear tactic.
Sure. Chandra Levy murder investigation before 9/11. This one, they were threatening to nuke us every day for 2 weeks. And I'm sure North Korea is the big loser here in this. they don't have any more leverage and bargaining chips. That whole thing has played itself out. But it made me very suspicious that, you know, look over here, don't look over here. And but, you know, we're so fast, and there's so many of us, and we're so good that between all of the people investigating the Boston Marathon bombings, and this is, keep in mind, this has just happened. By the time the whistleblowers come out, by the time we have the ability to analyze truly and seriously comprehend what's happened and the evidence surrounding it, mm-hmm. we're going to have this case completely cracked, not in a year, such as it would happen after the 9/11 attacks, but in months.
Right, so. Or decades, like after JFK. But, you know, it's one thing you're so right about. You know, there's so many people, you know, and I don't even remember who I was talking to about it. But when they shut down the cell phones during the attack with the bullshit excuse that maybe, you know, they would have a detonator to set off the bomb, you know, one thing you got to look at, if your phone's down, you know, they've probably figured nobody be able to record or take pictures either. So, but a lot of people did, you know, especially of that drill that was going on. I mean, there's so many pictures online that are, to me, you can't dispute what's being shown. Yeah. You know, that Hispanic hero, you know, rolling the guy with the legs that probably got blown off in Iraq down the street. You know, they
the
had pictures of him.
People that would have gathered that kind of on-the-scene evidence are right now holding it and mm-hmm. very afraid that if they come out, they will be looked upon from other Bostonians as un-American, unpatriotic, and anti-police. So
well,
I know we're going to start seeing stuff coming out. Once this whole fervor is worn off, we're going to start seeing a lot more things coming out to, I think, really verify what we've already been saying every day on my show at DeadlineLive.info, the Jack Blood Show, every morning.
Absolutely. And, you know, when the police all of a sudden were asking people to send in their pictures and their video, you know, I was following it close on Facebook, and somebody had posted, if you're sending your pictures or your video, don't send them the originals.
Yeah, right.
So people are hep, you know, there's so many people saying we're wise to your false flags. We're not falling for these false flags. You know, you even have some people that are in office saying that this was a false flag. You know,
well,
they probably won't be alive
not,
long.
There certainly are a lot of red flags. And again, I'm working very hard to prove to myself that this was, this actually happened even close to the way they said it was. I'm not trying to prove some kind of a theory. I'm trying to disprove my intuition and my theories. And like I said, I'm having a very troubling time doing that. So.
Well, you know, Jack, you got to always trust your intuition.
Yeah, especially when it's been so good. Yeah, this is mainstream media wrong, what, 70% of the time? I'm right 70% of the time. Go ahead, choose which one you're going to listen to.
Right.
I'm very grateful that my listeners have been extremely supportive for us. You know, we work off of donations. That's how we continue to move forward. People want to donate to us and keep us going and supplement our work. JackBloodHotMail.com for instructions on how to do that. And we've gotten more listeners than ever before, Maria. So obviously,
well,
you know,
obviously we're doing something right. Right. We're either doing something right or people are finally waking up and saying, you know, we've had enough. And, you know, it's hard to be ready to accept the ugly truth because it is ugly, Jack.
Well, don't get mad and don't get violent, folks out there. You know, love is the only infinite truth. Find a way to peacefully manifest whatever anger that you might have over these vicious lies. And, you know, try to make the world a little bit better of a place. Stop human suffering wherever you can find it and see it, and stop it in your own lives. Love yourself so you can love others.
Well said, Jack. Well, thanks so much, Jack. I guess I'll talk with you again next month.
Love you, Maria. Stay bold. Mighty forces will come to your aid.
You too, Jack. Take care. Okay, Jack Blood, DeadlineLive.info. And tomorrow I'll be back with loads more news. If you're new to the show, there's lots more information in the archives. My site right now has over 1,000 hours of education on all the topics we talk about. And it's for a subscription of your choice. That's how I exist. So, again, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show, and I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom, only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.